We are beginning a new book in the Bible together, and I'm very excited about this Bible book because this book can change your life. It's the book of Romans, and you will be glad you studied it. It's a wonderful, wonderful book in the Bible. And so we're going to be beginning. Let me just make a few changes here. Good enough. So, we are studying the book of Romans. Book of Romans changed my life. That's how I got saved. Someone opened the book of Romans to me. They showed me I was a sinner from the book of Romans, Romans 3:23. They showed me that Jesus paid for the gift of eternal life in Romans chapter 5. And that was what made me understand the gospel. So I have a question. Who is the author? I know God is the author, I know the Holy Spirit is the author, but who is the human author of the book of Romans? Did you say Paul? Okay, if you said Paul, you are correct. Paul wrote the book of Romans. How many books in the New Testament did Paul write? Should I test you on this next week? Oh, next week we'll be in the park. This would mean, you have to remember this for 2 weeks. How many books in the Bible did Paul write? Did you say 13? If you said 13, that's your lucky number today, because Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. Now, of course, the book of Romans is somewhere in those 13 books. And I'll tell you something difficult. The order of your books is not the order that Paul wrote the books. I mean, if I put the books together, I'd put them in the order they were written. But that's not the way your Bible puts them together. So even though Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Romans is not the first book that Paul wrote. So what we need to do, again, this is a little bit of a review. We need to think about the book of Acts and the life of Paul, just to get our motors going here, because there's a purpose. Now, Paul was saved by God, and he considered his life to be a race. And he wanted to race so that he could race to the end of his life and finish the work that God gave him to do. And then he said he would receive the reward for finishing the race and looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if you are saved, you are also in a race. Now, if you're in a race, usually you have someone who you can follow until you burst over the finish line. The person you follow would set the pace for the race, right? He would set the pace for the... I'm telling you this because this is an acrostic to help you remember the life of Paul, all right? So Paul is in a race, and Paul is setting the pace. He's setting the pace for you and I. So if you want to know how to run this race, that you're saved, you trusted Jesus as Savior, and you say, I want to run the race too. Well, you're going to run the race like Paul. He set the pace. Now, that's the verb. No, that's the noun. But the person who sets the pace, what will we call him? We'll add an R. Okay, we'll add an R. All right. Now we're going to build the life of Paul. before we get into the book of Romans here, the first thing that happened to Paul, that we meet him, is he actually killed Christians, didn't he? So Paul was not always a Christian. Paul killed the Christians in Acts chapter 8 and then Acts chapter 9. The first good thing that happens in Paul's life is he gets saved. And Paul gets saved, and he gets saved in the city of Damascus. So when you think of Paul's life, P-A-C-E-R, the first thing that happens to Paul is saved. All right, you got it. So you get the whole life of Paul so far. Paul then left the place he was saved. They basically kicked him out because everywhere Paul went, people would be killed and persecuted. And they said, Paul, they're kicking you out of Damascus. And he went back home. He went back home to a city called Tarsus, which was way far away from Jerusalem. And the Bible said when Paul left, even as a Christian, well, before he was a Christian, he's killing the Christians, all right? And after he became a Christian, he was so on fire for the Lord that the people kept persecuting the Christians. So when Paul was sent home by the church, it said the church had peace. And so now what happens in the church is during the time that Paul is persecuting and running after and killing and putting Christians in jail, all those Christians who got saved on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem are running for their lives too. And they're running all directions, and one of the directions they're running is north. And as the Christians are running for their lives, they do what Christians do. They talk about Jesus. And so they're talking about the Lord Jesus, and first they're talking only to Jewish people, because Jews meet with Jews. It makes sense. But then someone starts talking to non-Jewish people. Gentiles is what the Bible calls non-Jewish people. And Gentiles start to get saved more than the Jewish people. And so a church starts way north of Jerusalem in Syria, same place Syria is today, in a city called Antioch of Syria. And as people get saved, they say, we need a teacher. Where are we going to get a teacher to teach these Gentiles? These non-Jewish people, they never studied their Bible before. We need a Bible teacher. And so Barnabas, one of the leaders of this new church in Antioch, said, let's get Paul. And he went to get Paul where they had sent him, and now they're going to bring him back. And Paul returns to Antioch. And while Paul is in Antioch with this new Gentile church, the church grows like mad. And the church grows to have more Gentiles than Jewish people. And so, the mother church, which is down south, is Jerusalem, it's largely a Jewish church. But the church up in Antioch, way north up here in Syria, is largely a Gentile church. And as that Gentile church is growing, they grow from being a church that needs the help of Jerusalem and needs the help of other people to a church that's actually giving money to Jerusalem. And at one point, God the Holy Spirit speaks to the church. And God the Holy Spirit speaks to this Gentile church in Antioch and says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. Saul is Paul. All right, so that's his Jewish name. That's his Gentile name, Saul and Paul. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to do. And so the church prayed, and they sent out Paul and the other man, Barnabas, and they went from Antioch, and they went into Asia Minor. And you know what city they started a church in? They started a few churches. But the one that became the center point, this is crazy, was another town called Antioch, but this one was in Asia Minor. The church in Antioch in Syria sent out Paul and Barnabas, and they go down and they come up into Asia Minor again, and the base of operations for the first missionary trip, and this is, I'm going to put a number one here, this is Paul's first missionary trip, and the center of operations is Antioch of Pisidia, or Antioch in Asia Minor. And we go from Paul's personal salvation, where Paul receives the gospel, to now Paul is going out, and the gospel is going to the Gentile world here. And now, when Paul returns from missionary, now we're gonna do a little thing here. We should review. Alright, so far in Paul's life, we have P is Paul saved. And then we have A, Antioch. Okay, so P is
Paul.
P is
Paul saved.
A is
Antioch.
That's good, Antioch. And of course it's Antioch to Antioch. And now, all the church has is the Jewish books of the Bible. And the church is a brand new, the Bible says, a brand new man. It's like it's got a life of its own. And the Jewish rules are not going to be adequate. They're not even applicable. They don't even apply to the Gentile church. Some of them do, of course, but as a whole. So Paul comes back from missionary journey number one. And of course he goes back to the home church at Antioch. But he also then goes back to Jerusalem, but there's people in Antioch saying, boy, unless you're circumcised and unless you keep the law of Moses, you can't be saved. And in fact, they said, unless you keep the law of Moses as a Christian, you can't go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul has to write his first book that says, you are not saved because of the law. If you are under the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, you are under a curse. The very first book that Paul wrote was not Romans. What book of the law says that everyone who is under the law is under a curse? It's Galatians. And so as a result of the first missionary journey, where all these Gentiles and many Gentile churches are being planted, Paul has a fight with the Jewish people, and he says, you cannot go on for the Lord Jesus Christ in the law of Moses. You cannot be saved by circumcision. You can't be sanctified by the law of Moses. And so he writes a book to one of those churches in Galatia that says, by the works of the... that's Romans. But he says in Galatians that curses everyone who is under the law. And that's the first thing, because the gospel needs to be very clear. It's not the law of Moses. So after spending some time back in the home church, Paul says we need to go now back and strengthen all of the churches that were established. So we spent some time back in Antioch, left Jerusalem, and the Jerusalem church agreed and actually wrote a letter to the Gentile churches that you don't have to keep the law of Moses. You're not Jewish people. It's okay. And so Paul says, we need to go back. And so Paul goes back from Antioch, and they walk back through Asia Minor, and they say, we're going to take the gospel to everywhere in Asia Minor. And they try to get through Asia Minor. And you know what God, the Holy Spirit, says? No way, Jose. You are not going to go north. You're not going to go to Bithynia. You're not going to go east. You've already been south. And they're going, what can we do? We're at the edge, and there's only water this direction. And then God has a vision at night, and it's a man from across the water saying, come over and help us. It's a call to Europe, to Greece, to Macedonia and Achaia. And so Paul and his workers conclude that God was calling them to leave Asia Minor and to go over to Europe. And this is missionary journey number 2. And after going through Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and down then to Corinth, Paul stayed in a city called Corinth, and this is the base of operations. Now, this is in Greece. Paul stays in Corinth for 18 months, at least 18 months, and he teaches the new converts to Christianity, the Gentiles. And so this is the center of Christianity. This is the center of missionary trip number 2. It's Corinth. And so that's easy to remember. So we got P-A-C-E. P is what? Paul saved. A is what? Antioch. C, missionary trip number 2, is Corinth. And now that's in Greece. So if you picture a map, I don't have a map, but over here you've got Asia Minor, and we're going west. They jump the sea and they go over here to Greece, and in Greece they come down the coast and bang, they end up in Corinth. Corinth is a big city because everyone who sells anything moves their product through Corinth. It's a seaport that all the goods throughout all the world move. And so that's very exciting, except for in Corinth, he has gone through Philippi, Thessalonica, and he was kicked out of Thessalonica. They actually ran him out. Everywhere Paul goes, people were trying to kill him. He went through Thessalonica so quickly, and the Bible said about the Thessalonians, they weren't really a Bible reading people. So what do you think Paul did? As he came to Corinth, he had visited all these other churches. He wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Oh, we just do Thessalonians. That's 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Then he wrote 2 letters from Corinth to Thessalonica. And the message of those letters had nothing to do with the law. The message of those letters is the Thessalonians were suffering just like Paul was run out. The Jewish people are hunting down the Christians in Thessalonica. The Thessalonians have problems because they're lazy. And the Thessalonians have other problems as well. And Paul says the answer to your problem is Jesus is coming. And so the very first thing I find is very interesting when this is the order that Paul wrote his letters. He started as the book of Galatians, and just to show them how you're not saved. You're not saved by the law. And then the next thing that early Christians needed to know in the order of these books is Jesus is coming. 1 Thessalonians 1, last verses, Jesus is coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, last verses, Jesus is coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, last verses, Jesus is coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture, which is different than the Jewish people had taught. It's new for the church. This is a view of Jesus coming that wasn't in the Old Testament at all. And so the answer to every one of their problems is Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You need to live a pure life until Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. This is not the day of the Lord. He's coming to take us out of the world. So when a person first gets saved, he needs to know that Jesus is coming. And the race is on. The race is on. The day you get saved, the race is on until either you die or Jesus returns. And so we've got how many books of Paul are written so far by the end of his second missionary journey? How many books are written so far? If you said three, or the, or trace. You have it in Spanish, Korean, and English. It's three, all right? Three books so far, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Relationship of a Christian to the law, relationship of a Christian to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, on his way home, back to Antioch and back to Jerusalem from missionary journey number two, he goes through a town in Asia Minor, which is like the major town in Asia Minor. It's Ephesus. And he told the people in Ephesus, if the Lord permits, I will return. Paul's third missionary journey, the center is back in Asia Minor. Remember, Antioch of Pisidia is in Asia Minor also, but Ephesus is the center of Asia Minor. And so missionary journey number three, the center, Paul started a three-year Bible school at Ephesus. And at this point, the teachings of Christianity are being put in writing as totally 100% different from Judaism. And so Ephesus is the center of missionary journey number three. And so we got P-A-C-E so far. So when we think of Paul's life and we think of his missionary journeys, we'll go all the way to the end of his life and where Romans is going to fit in. P is number one, what? Paul saved. And A, missionary journey number two, is centered at Antioch. And then C, missionary journey number two, it is centered in Corinth. And then missionary journey number three, and last missionary journey, by the way, is E, it's centered in Ephesus. Now, in Ephesus, Paul writes from Ephesus, Paul writes the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Whoops. 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And the point of 1st and 2nd Corinthians is, how do Christians behave? How do we have our meetings? Because our meetings are not like Jewish meetings. We don't offer up animals on altars, except for a picnic, right? We might put a pig on a grill, but that's not the same thing. These two books give information on how church meetings are to be conducted. Rules for Christian behavior that's different from being Jewish. And so he writes these two books, and he writes this from Ephesus. And so we're going to call that book Church Behavior and Rules . And that's 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And we have one more book that then during this trip, Paul takes a trip over the water to Corinth to visit the Christians at Corinth. And as he's at Corinth, he writes a book to explain the gospel line by line by line by line. What book would that be? It's our book, Romans. And this book is the Gospel Explained. And so, these are the three books Paul wrote on this trip. This book is written from Corinth. These two books, the Corinthians, are written from Ephesus. But in 1 Corinthians, he defines the gospel. He says, this is the gospel. Christ died for your sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared. And so that was the gospel which was defined in 1 Corinthians 15. But then I want to use the word codified. In other words, put in exact order what it is, what it does, who it applies to. The total explanation of the gospel is in Romans. And this is a book of every book in the New Testament that can change your life. You will be in love with the book of Romans before we're done. And so now we do have one, we do have the next thing. The end of this missionary journey. How many missionary journeys have we had so far? Three missionary journeys. There is no fourth missionary journey. Do you know why? They arrested Paul when he went back to Jerusalem. They threw him in jail. They arrested him. They sent him then to a Roman prison. And instead of missionary journey number four, Paul went as a prisoner back to Rome, where guess what? He preached the gospel to the head of the world. And Christianity was put on trial. And so the point here is, there's going to be books written here from prison. But here, Christianity is going to the ends of the world. Everywhere in the Roman Empire now knows about Christianity. And then, after release, Paul's going to die. I mean, he's going to write a few other books, but he's going to die. So I'm just ending the books he's written right there, because that's all we have to remember. And if we have a test, I suppose we could do the test. So this is the last stage in his life, though. He gets a short release, and then the Romans take him back, and they chop his head off. So Rome to Rome. All right, so P is the beginning of Paul's life. P is what? All saved. Missionary journey number one is A, it's at Antioch. Missionary journey number two is centered at Corinth. Missionary journey number three is centered at Ephesus. And then they arrest Paul, and they send him to our what? Rome. Well, you got a whole view of Paul's life. Congratulations. But you can see how important these books are. This is not the Bible book order that you have. This is the order that those books were written in. So let's start reading. We have a few minutes. We can start reading in the book of Romans together, which is great fun. All right? This makes perfect sense here. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. There we go, make it bigger. Who is the author of the book of Romans, and how do you know? It says so, all right? That makes it easy. Paul is the writer. And then, Paul, a bondservant, set apart, a servant Jesus, called as an apostle. An apostle, of course, is a missionary. Nobody who's sent out, all right? There's official apostles who are the official 12 sent out by the Lord Jesus, but anyone else who goes out, the word just means sent out. All right, apostle. We have the word post, right? Post office. Why do you call it post? Because you're sending out letters. All right, so this is apostle. You can see the word post in there. But what is the point of Paul's life? So we read it. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle. So he's called to be a missionary, and voila, he did it. First P, what? Paul is what? Saved. A, he's a missionary, and what city? Antioch. Missionary trip number two, he's a missionary. What's the center there? Corinth. Three, Ephesus. R, a prisoner in Rome, but he's still a missionary. And so he's writing a letter now to the place he's going to be sent to prison in a few years. And the point of Paul's life, and this is what I'm hoping also, is the point of my life and the point of your life, is he's set apart for the gospel. When God saves you, he gives you a calling, And in a sense, your calling may be a little different than mine, but we're set apart for the same thing. How are you saved? You were saved because you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins. He paid for your sins, and you believe He's alive. And through that life, you became alive when you trusted Him. He raised you to life. So how did that happen? That's the gospel. You were saved by the gospel. Guess what you're set apart to? You're set apart to the gospel. My life and your life, in some way, is all about telling people that Jesus Christ died for their sins and He's alive to save them. You may be a barber, but your life is not about cutting hair. Your life is about telling people about the Lord Jesus. And you use your barbering skills to do that. You may be a nurse, but your life is not nursing. Your life is God has given you that platform. God has given you that place at work to put you next to people that no one else can be next to. You are set apart for the gospel so that when you're doing the job as nurse or you're doing the job as a assembly or whatever you're doing at All Steel, or you're doing production at Tyson, or you're doing packaging for anyone else, or whatever you're doing, that's not your life. That's the platform that God gave you to present the gospel to other people. Life is not about your work. Life is about the gospel of God. And that's what Paul is saying here. So let's just do some reading and see how many times gospel comes up. Because gospel is the theme of this book. Gospel is the theme of this book. So it says, set apart for the gospel of God, which, that means the gospel, which gospel He promised beforehand through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son. What do we know about the gospel? It's not new. It has its roots in all the promises of God, beginning with the first promise to Adam, where the seed of the woman would crush the head of Satan. And from that point forward, the whole Bible was getting ready to bring in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not separate from the Old Testament. The Old Testament is bringing the gospel into place so it can happen when Jesus comes into the world. And the gospel is about one person and one person only. It's about God's Son. That's what the gospel is about. I hear so many Christians talk about their church. They talk about their religion. They talk about this and that. But when they're talking to people about God, they don't talk to people about Jesus Christ. If you're not talking to people about Jesus Christ, then your life is not about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, however your God talk happens, it has to eventually come to the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, because the gospel is not only promised beforehand, but it's all about God's Son. Keep the center of the Bible, the center of your conversation, and the center of your life. Jesus is the center of the Bible, and He should be the center of my life. And then it says about Jesus Christ. It talks about the fact that Jesus Christ is 100% man. Jesus is not half man and half God. He was born as a descendant of David. He's a real human being. He entered real temptation in the wilderness. He lived a life just like any other person except for one fact. He didn't sin. And so Paul says this gospel about Jesus Christ is about a man according to the flesh,
We have a Savior as a man. He didn't become the Son of God, but he was declared, in other words, announced to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, that proved God became a man. But Jesus, before he died, said, if I lay down my life again, I will raise it up. Only God could raise his life up again and restore life to himself. And so the resurrection declares that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he is God with power from the resurrection of the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the gospel is about God who became a man. He died for your sins. He's alive to save you. He should be the center of your life. You know, he could come today. Paul way back here said, you need to understand that Jesus could come today. And we will stand before the Lord Jesus and we'll give an account of all the time we spent after we got saved. And God will say, well, what did you do with your life? Was it Christ-centered? Did you go off in some crazy area that wasn't in the Bible? Did you live every day like the Lord Jesus is coming? Did you follow my rules for the church? That's the review. The Bible. Bring up our life in the Bible. So we're going to stop right there. Next week we'll read this chapter together. We'll look at the beginning and the ending of the book and show how the gospel begins the book and the gospel ends the book. But I think for us right now, in thinking what we have, of course we all this stuff about Paul, but God found it necessary to write an entire book about the gospel to a group of people who were already saved. If you go to most churches today, they will tell you you're saved by doing good. The church has lost this message, and it's one of the biggest books in the New Testament. So when we're done with this book, there'll be no doubt in our minds that salvation and righteousness is through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is Jesus your Savior? How are you getting to heaven? What is your righteousness before God? Is it as a gift, bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus? I hope so, because that's the only way. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved.